that next week I'll be back on my stool, and I'm ready for it. This is, and I don't like having to sit in a chair like I'm feeble, and I'm what? I'm not. Oh, did you hear that? You're not. And General MacArthur in World War II, he received all kinds of fan mail, but a little boy wrote him a letter and said, "I noticed, General, that you walk with a cane. Are you feeble?" And General MacArthur, if you've ever read much about him, he had a sizable ego. So he walked right out of that room, and that cane went in the trash can, and that was the end of walking with a cane. So I don't want to look like I'm feeble, especially the people who don't know me well out there. So we're going to get me back on the stool as soon as possible. And the only reason I'm really here now is I can't sit on a stool with this tube still here. It puts too much pressure. So I have to have more cushion. But that's going to be out Thursday, isn't it? Right. Everybody's praying for that. It's going to take that out. Then I can live a normal life again. So there we go. I want to share with you, I didn't want to title this prayer. I just want to communicate with God. And it's, I don't know, whenever you talk about prayer, it seems sort of low level, low key. But I don't want it to be. I pray it's not. But we still need to talk about it. And that's what the Lord put them. I was really looking at Ephesians. I wanted to go in there and go back over the armor and new insights on all that and stuff. But it was like, no, you can't do that today. So you're going to have to just bring what God gives you. And don't argue with the Lord. Don't argue with God. When he puts something on your heart, don't argue with him. I think we've missed a lot of blessings in life, every one of us, when you've been prompted to do something and you just didn't make a lot of sense and you didn't do it. Has everybody here just about had that experience? And then you end up regretting it every time. When he prompts you to do something, don't look for it to always make sense. God does not always make sense. As a matter of fact, there's just many things in my life that God put on my heart to do or messages to bring, and it makes sense. You know, and it can get to be, this is why you've got to learn to communicate with him. And when you communicate with God, it's not you and I just going one way. It's communication is two-way. We have to listen to him in whatever we're doing. And, you know, God, it might even be the clothes you're wearing. You ever had just been prompted by the Lord that this is not the right outfit today? For some reason, I do that. It happened this morning. I had picked out this maroon shirt I really wanted to wear with this blue t-shirt. And I got in there, and it was for whatever reason, maybe it didn't work with the tone of the message, but I just knew. I had a burden on my heart. It's like, don't wear that red thing. I knew it. And it's like, take this out. This will go better with the message. It's softer. So it's like, I don't really like this orange particularly. It's okay. But it's like, soften the red. Red is strong power, you know, and it's like you don't need that. Wear red when you're going to preach on the full armor of God. You can wear red then. But, you know, we'll wear something soft. So, you know, really, listen to the Lord, and it may seem ridiculous, whatever you're being prompted to do, but that is learning to communicate with God and letting God communicate with you. And he'll prompt you. Just, you may be pulling into a certain gas pump, and you have this feeling, I don't need to, not this one, let me go to the next one. It can be just like that. Or you're maybe in the checkout line and it's like, no, go to the next one. Why? Don't question. If you're prompted, just do it. You ever picked up something, some meat or something in the store and you felt something not right about what you just picked up? You ever done that? And it's like, don't argue, put it down, get something else. God's protecting you. Somebody's touched that. Something's wrong. Who knows? Or maybe he just wants to see if you'll really listen on something like that. So let's talk about just how much God is involved in this. And Jesus gives a parable. We're going to look at two different parables that he gives. The first one is over in Luke chapter 10. And just communicating with God. And I like this story. And the insights here are really interesting. And Jesus, first of all, in Luke chapter 11, he starts off with an abbreviated version of the model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer in Matthew. The Lord's Prayer is over in John. You look around John chapter 17, that's where the Lord really prayed. This is a model prayer, and we call it the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer. He said, pray like this. When you pray, pray like this. And so he gives this little abbreviated version. Luke gives an abbreviated version of it. And then he said to them, and I like, this is an interesting parable. Really grab some of this. He said, suppose. He said, let me give you a story that illustrates the truth about praying. That's what this is all about. Parables do. They illustrate a truth. And he said, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Okay. For a friend of mine has come to see me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. Have you ever studied this passage? It's really rather ridiculous. In the middle of the night, you're going to go to your neighbor and say, wake up, I need some bread. This is not critical. This is not life-threatening. There is nobody's life at stake here. And I mean, really, he teaches us something about requesting things from God. And if you get this, it'll help you in your communication with God and what you pray about. He goes and says, lend me 3 loaves. And a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. And what the guy was saying is, I'm not going to get up and wake everybody up here to give you some bread. You know, somebody's not missing a limb out here. So, you know, you don't need medical attention. You wake me up for bread? I mean, that's how ridiculous. I mean, Jesus wanted them going, oh, really? Come on. I mean, this is really one of those parables that he was actually working them a little bit. And you know, we can't see the guys, the disciples, but they're making the kind of faces we would make, you know, and saying a few things, you know, like, really? Seriously? You'd wake somebody up in the middle of the night for 3 loaves of bread? I mean, nobody's going to die here if they don't get it. And so, you know, the guy says, I can't get up. I'm going to wake up my whole family here. The kids are in bed. And I tell you, he says, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he'll get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it'll be open. Now we've read this stuff. But often the passages we know so well, we miss the point so easily. And he said, suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish, will he give him a snake instead of a fish? Or what will he? Or if he asks for an egg, will he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? And it says in Luke, give good things to those that ask him. And I'm going a little further than I meant to, but here's the whole point. Jesus uses a parable, and he includes on communicating with God and on our needs. So Christians, family of God, let's get something cleared up right now. You know, we keep talking about this, and we hit it last week. If it's important to you, it's important to God. He gives the most, almost ridiculous parable here. A friend of mine has come at night, and there's some things to notice here that the disciples would have caught on to immediately, right? Why would you not have any food in your house? That's an ill-prepared person. So what Jesus is doing is saying, here's a person that doesn't even have bread in his house. He's not even prepared. Get this. This doesn't come out here, but it's obvious. He's not even prepared to feed himself. This person has been negligent. They're careless. This is the kind of person that we want to tell off real quick. This is like, you know what, you know, if you're an idiot and you don't have enough sense to have some food, what are you going to eat for your own breakfast tomorrow? You have nothing. And you come to me at midnight and you want me to get up and take care of your negligence. That's what's going on here. And we don't catch this stuff in these parables. And you've got to really look at them and study them and say, look at this. This person didn't even prepare for their own meal. They have nothing. And so you have a friend that comes. And Jesus told this on purpose. And you know why? Because he wanted us to grasp the fact that God cares even when we're negligent, when we're kind of dumb, when we don't prepare, when you run the gas gauge till the little light comes on. I hope nobody here is guilty of that, but I suspect somebody is. You don't get gasoline until, you don't fuel up until that little light blinks on and says, you have 15 miles. You have 20 miles. Oh, I knew your hand would come up. That's my own daughter back there. Worst in the world about that. And I'm the opposite. She rides me all the time. You know, Dad, you know, and she's been experiencing it. If it gets to the 3/4 mark, I'm panicked. We must fill up now. That gas gauge is on full. And I mean, I'll go to Junction and it's like, it's on 3/4. My God, what if we have an emergency? Go, let's go top it off. And you live out in the country like I do. See, you learn to do that. You don't go to HEB and buy one package of something. You buy two or three. Because you are out way out there and you might need that and never, ever be low of fuel. And I've calculated my fuel, and I know with a full tank in that truck, and it burns gas pretty good, but I can get from my house to my cousin Eddie's and he would have 3 loaves of bread if I needed them in the middle of the night. So I know how far it'll go on that one tank of gasoline. The point here is this. He's teaching us about communicating with God, and even when we're really dumb, even when we're irresponsible, even when we're not prepared for anything, and even when our gas gauge is down in the little blinking light and we need help, God doesn't turn away from us, and he's saying, you've got to learn how to communicate with God, and yes, even when we are the ones that cause the problem, God still cares. It's a great parable if you get the depth of it. And he's saying, I want you to learn something right here. And that's why he goes on to say, so ask and it'll be given. And he said, because of your persistence. He said, this guy goes and wakes his neighbor up. And it's not just his neighbor, it's his friend. And says, I'm ill prepared. I've let myself run completely out of food and I need 3 loaves. By the way, let me ask you something. Why did he ask for 3 loaves? He's not just asking for a loaf of bread to feed his friend. He's asking for extra to feed himself. You say, he's not only ill-prepared, this guy's a moocher. He's like a kid that comes home and comes to your house and mooches. I couldn't get a reaction then. I've been telling her she's a mooch. I said, you're coming and mooching off of me at my house. Of course, I really don't mind. You can mooch. I've let her mooch for years, you know. Who doesn't let a kid mooch off of them, right? Yeah, we hate it. Yeah. But this guy is. He didn't ask for a loaf of bread to feed his friend. Oh, he used his friend. And Jesus told this parable on purpose to say, even with this guy who's going overboard and getting a little for himself for breakfast the next day or maybe lunch, he's got 3 loaves of bread. Why do you need 3? Wouldn't one do? You see what? All in one parable? Isn't it amazing? And he's saying, his friend said, hey, my kids are in bed, and the way that they bedded those kids down, you have to wake everybody up to get over the kids to get to do anything. So he's going to wake his whole family up. But he said the guy kept asking, and his friend actually got up and gave him 3 loaves instead of 1. We'd have been tempted to say, hey, if I'm going to get up, you get 1 loaf of bread. You don't need 3 loaves in the middle of the night to feed your friend. You're mooching off of me. And yet he's saying this is the heart of God, even when you are being selfishly motivated. And you're using one thing to get another. God's not going to wrap you upside the head for that. And he said because of his persistence, he got his 3 loaves of bread when he really needed only 1. Now, how many times in your life Have you pulled these kind of stunts and God gave you more than you really deserved? And you know why? Because he's your father and he loves you just like we love our kids and we let them get away with these things. We don't realize the kind of God we serve. He is our father and we are his children. And even when we're misbehaving, he doesn't shut us off. What a powerful message. Have you seen all this in this before? And you ever just ask God why three loaves? That's what I do. I say, show me the reason for three loaves. Show me what the real purpose. What are you teaching here, Lord, besides just persistence? I'm teaching you that when you're totally selfish, even when you're acting like and doing all these things, I still love you. And he said, the guy's persistence got him the three loaves of bread. And he said, now I'm going to go ahead and teach you some more here. And he said, I hope you get this. He said, I want you to learn, and he said, suppose one of you fathers is asked by a son for a fish. He said, you're going to give him a snake? If he asks for an egg, you're going to give him a scorpion? He said, you're evil people. And if you know how to give your kids something, how much more will your father give the Holy Spirit? And he said, I'll give you the filling of the Holy Spirit, and I'll give you more than that. And Matthew says, he'll give you good gifts. Even when your heart's not really in the right place, look how many times he blesses us and we don't deserve it. I mean, and we try to run a racket on God and we do all this and God knows it and we know it. And we tell God how it's not my fault. How any of you have got into this thing? It's not my fault I'm in the condition I'm in. It's not my fault all this has happened and God is saying, yes, it is. This guy here, he didn't say that, but you can kind of see he's trying to imply it. It's not my fault. I didn't know a friend was coming at midnight. It was your fault that you don't even have enough in your house to feed yourself. And you come and mooch off a neighbor. Don't we mooch off of God? You can say yes. It's okay. Yeah. Don't we really go to God when we did it to ourselves and we try to get God to feel sorry for us? God, I didn't do this. It's not my fault. I don't know what to do. And God's saying, oh, get over it. And while he's saying get over it, he's handing you your three loaves. And Jesus is saying, you got to learn to communicate with God here. You got a father that is so giving. He lets us get away with so much. I don't know where we got this idea that God is sitting up there with some big old stick in his hand ready to whack us over the head. He's just not that way. And when you look at parables like this, he said, if you ask for a fish, is God going to give you something else? A snake or something? You ever heard people say, be careful what you ask for? And it makes us kind of afraid to ask God for things. Be careful what you ask God for. You may get it. You know who made that up? The devil. Do you think that's what he's saying here? Do you think if you ask him for a fish, he's going to give you a snake? It doesn't say be careful what you ask God for. He's going to give you something to make you regret asking him. No. That's not what it says. God will never give you a bad gift to teach you a lesson. And he's not going to give you a snake when you ask for a fish. And he's not going to give you a scorpion when you ask for an egg. God never said, be careful what you ask for. God said, communicate with me and learn that I'm a very loving, giving Father God. And I know that my children, he said it right here, you being evil know how to give good gifts. How much more will your Father in heaven give you good stuff? He knows we're messed up. He knows we don't deserve it. He knows we're going to ask for things we don't need. And yet he never beats us in the head. He never sends a bolt of lightning to strike your house because you're trying to manipulate him. And let's be real honest, don't we manipulate in life? Don't we try to pull a racket on God and get him to feel sorry for us? And he's saying, you don't have to get me to feel sorry for you. I felt sorry for you from the beginning. That's why I sent Jesus down the cross. I had pity. I had mercy. I have love for you. This is powerful stuff. This is good stuff. I get to studying this and saying, God, give me insight so I can bring them to your people. And it's like, okay, you want them? I'll give them to you. Bring this. You ask for 3 loaves when you only need one, and I still give you 3 loaves. You know what God wants in return, though? God wants us to fall on our knees more often and say, God, I didn't deserve this, and I thank you for giving me more than I deserve. And very few of his people ever do that with him. I mean, how long has it been since we just fell before the Lord, really literally, went before the Lord and just in gratefulness and said, thank you. Thank you, God, that you didn't let me be killed in that close call out there on the road. Thank you, God, for coming through when I needed you the most, when I had nothing. Thank you, God, for not letting me get involved with that person out there I thought I was going to get involved with. Thank you for delivering me. How many of us, I mentioned this before, how many of us in our life look back and say, thank you, God, for not letting me get married to that person? Oh, there's one right there. Yeah, there's another one over there. And at the time, no, you're saying, oh, God, let this work out. You know, oh, yes, bless this relationship. And God was saying, I don't want to bless this thing. This is awful. And it didn't work out. Any of you in high school ever think you're going to marry somebody back then? Okay, oh, yeah, I know, yeah. There's my kid back there. Yeah, she did. She was going to, how many have you going to be married to since high school? 30, 40, 50, okay, good. Yeah. Lost count, didn't we? Yeah. Oh, yeah, back in high school. And she's praying, oh, this is the one, and I'm praying, God, take that guy away. Yeah, hide him under a rock somewhere. But we all look back. Don't you have a lot of prayers that weren't answered? If you look back on them, how many times can you say right now, God, thank you that you didn't do that? And maybe you wanted to buy this new pickup or new car. There was a certain house or piece of property, and it just didn't work out. But you look back on it and you say, oh, thank God that didn't work. When you find out what happened to that property, it was in a flood zone, or that truck would have put you, or that car would have put you so far in debt that you could never, ever get out of debt. You'd have had nothing. God, listen, God does answer prayer, and he gives us so many loaves. And when things go unanswered, we don't get what we're asking for, it's because God doesn't want us destroyed. But he'll give it to you. If it can be given, he'll give it to you. And so, you know, I can't belabor this whole thing. We need to move on. But this is so neat. When you look at this, just look at this one chapter, this one passage in this chapter. You see what kind of loving God he is. I go to my friend at midnight, and what he's saying is, you know, you got a problem, you go to God. It's really not that big a problem. It's not an issue. This was not something that was a crisis, was it? It just wasn't a crisis. And it all happened from personal irresponsibility. He let his gas gauge get too low. That's what he did. And then a friend shows up, and then you go beseeching your neighbor, and he's saying, this is how we come to God, and it's usually our own fault, and yet God gives us what we need in abundance anyway. And how many of us can testify that God has given us in abundance more than we deserved or needed over and over and over? And he's going to keep doing that. That's what this is all about. So let me get here. There's 2 or 3 points, but they're short. And not meaning to, this is not something I just want to step on and grind in the dirt with you. It's to really make these points and give us insights and how great God is and how much he loves us. So let's look at this first point, experiencing the fullness of prayer. There's just so many. We need to experience the fullness of praying. We need to pray it out and really communicate with God and listen to God. And then he gives this little, and in Luke 18, we're going to stay in Luke, but we go over to Luke 18. Jesus tells them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. So he's talking about persistence in this first one and irresponsibility, and yet God still comes through. And he's saying, in a certain city, you know this passage, but let's grab it again. There was a judge who did not fear God and didn't respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she's going to wear me out. And he says, hear what he says. Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay, you know, keep delaying over them along? And he said, I tell you, God will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You know what he's saying here? He's saying, not only, you know, do we have the three loaves at midnight, and you go to your friend and you're crying out, help me, when you shouldn't even have to do that in the first place, and God still comes through. Our failure, yet his blessing. And then he gives this parable about this unjust judge, and he's saying, let me tell you something. He said, let me use this parable to say to you. He said, there was an unjust judge, and he was hard-hearted, and he didn't like anybody. He was so self-centered, and he was mean. And here's a widow who's supposed to be respected in Jewish community, and she comes to the judge, and he tells her, what, get lost. This is my paraphrase, but get out of here, you're bothering me. And he wouldn't give her justice when she deserved justice. And then finally, though, she kept coming and kept coming until he said, you know, I can't take this anymore. By the way, all of us have been kids at one time. Some of us still are. But we learned if we kept asking, there was a good chance if you just keep asking as kids, one of two things will happen. You'll either get a beating or you'll get what you're asking for. And the chances are you're going to get what you're asking for. How many times when you look back in your childhood and then you say, you know, and you wanted a candy bar, you wanted something there, and you just kept on and kept on, and your parents would get so frustrated. And now let me tell you something. The best way to get something from your parents is let them get engaged in a conversation with some of their friends and keep coming up and annoy them. They'll hand you anything to get you to shut up so they can continue their conversation. And I learned that as a kid. We didn't have hardly anything. We didn't have a lot of money. But, you know, candy bars back then cost a nickel. But a nickel was hard to come by. But I found if Dad was involved talking to some other guys and they were really, you know, blah, 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 I'd just keep coming and pestering him. And finally, I'd get that nickel. Because he wanted me to shut up and leave him alone. And I think there's many a lady in this place right now who's learned that there's a certain way to keep appealing for something and keep bringing something up, and he's going to break down and give it to you because he can't stand it anymore. Has anybody ever figured that out? It works. I see a bunch of you smiling. You won't raise your hand for anything, but there's a bunch of you smiling saying, oh, don't tell our secret. It's not a secret. It's well known. Okay. It just happens. And he's saying, you keep on long enough and it'll happen. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, even an old hard-hearted judge finally gave in because she wouldn't quit coming and she kept asking. She had a problem and she needed it fixed. And he said, I'm telling you this parable. What Jesus is saying is, I'm telling you this parable to teach you something. God is not hard-hearted and he's not this judge. So if this judge could be broken, he just used a story here to say, if a widow could break this judge down by her continual coming, seeking justice, he said, how much quicker do you think a loving Father God will come through for you and answer your prayers if you just won't give up? Why in the world do we get frustrated and quit because God doesn't answer our prayer the first day or the first week? Have you ever thought that one of the reasons that God may not be giving you what you're asking for at the moment, just think about this, is he preparing you for the answer and is he working with other people to make this come about? Is he setting up the circumstances to make this a beautiful gift for you? Give him a chance. Give God a chance to answer your prayer in a bigger, more grand, and larger way than you ever imagined God could do this. Let God prepare the circumstances and the people and the timing and your own heart to receive the blessing you're asking him to give you. Think about it. Communicate with him. So, you know, what are these life lessons that we learn in the fullness of prayer? One's persistence. He's teaching persistence. Don't stop praying until God answers that prayer. Never give up until God shows you what to do. I put a little note here, and then, you know, and as I just made a note to myself, you know, people that are kind of flaky in their relationship with God tend to be flaky in their relationship with others. If they're not persistent, not consistent in their relationship with God, in their communication with God, we tend to be that way with each other, don't we? Usually when people are out of sorts about something on earth, they're not happy, they're miserable. And I used to not understand this, but you know what? I've come to pretty much to the conclusion. If somebody's not happy with life, they're not happy with people, they don't like anything around them, their real problem is not people, it's not life, it's God. You have a God problem. You're fighting the Lord. You're bucking His authority. You're not communicating with Him. If you can't get along with people, you're not getting along with God. Because if you can get along with God and you get His love in your heart, you can get along with people. You don't have to. You won't get along with everybody. Some people don't want to. You know, they don't want you to get along with them. But by and large, if you have that loving, communicating, praying relationship with God, and you and God are okay, you and God are like this. You're bonded. Then you can get along with most people in life. And if you can, and you know people, all of us know people, they just can't get along with anybody. It's like, where's that coming from? It's because you haven't gotten your life right with the Lord. You don't have a good relationship with God the Father. And so through God teaches us through persistence, He answers prayer. He teaches us patience in praying. Does anybody in here have a lack of patience? Oh, well, there's some hands going up. Anybody else? And I keep referring to that. Oh, okay. I keep referring to a commercial. There's a commercial I see on TV all the time. It's some lawyer in San Antonio. It's my money and I want it now. And that's what we feel about a lot of things. It's mine and I want it now. I want this prayer answered today. I want what I want and I want it now. And God is saying, oh, really? That doesn't work that way in life. I want you to learn patience. Did you know there's many a person who can have their prayer answered if they just let God give them patience? God's not withholding your gift or the blessing just to withhold it. He's trying to teach you to be patient. Be patient with people. And listen to me. There's something else you've got to do. Be patient with yourself. Why do you give up on yourself so easily? Every one of us are a work in progress. God is perfecting us. We're not perfected yet. And when you sin and when you fall short, you lose your temper, or you said to God how many times, how many hundred times, I'm not going to ever say that again. I'm not going to do how many. Have we all done that? Lord, I am not going to lose my temper again. Forgive me. I'm done with that. I'm not going to cuss again. I'm never going to do something dirty out here on the road with other drivers. Have you ever made that kind of thing with God? You ever made a deal with the Lord? I'm never going to say or do that again. How long does it take you to violate that? We're a work in progress. You won't be perfected till He calls you home. Be a little patient with yourself. Allow yourself to grow in the Lord, and that means you have to allow yourself to fail and you have to allow yourself to make mistakes. That's not a license to sin, but friends, be patient with yourself. And if you can learn to get along with you, by getting along with God and get along with you, you can get along with others. Makes sense, right? But if you're impatient with yourself, you're going to be impatient with other people. We expect so much from people, and they're just human like us. They're going to be late. They're not going to come through like they're supposed to. And God uses that to teach us. Prayer builds relationships with God. And as you continue to pray for a need, some desire in your life, you learn to talk, you learn to communicate, you learn how to really go into, as the Lord says in Matthew 6, go into your private room and talk to God in secret, and God who sees in secret rewards you openly. Friends, there's a lot more praying that needs to be done, and there's praying that needs to be done between you and the Lord in a private place, and pour out your heart to Him and go there often. By the way, before I close this out here this morning, some of you need to get honest and say, God, I'm really mad at you. I'm really hurt with you, Lord. Some of you, it's time for you to just look God in the eye in your private place and say, I'm disappointed in you, Lord. You let so-and-so happen or whatever, or my marriage broke up, or something happened with one of my kids, or something at the job or whatever. Why don't you just finally get it out of your system and tell God what's on your mind? That's part of communicating. You'd tell another person if you were mad at them. I mean, how many people have we told off in life? Some of you need to get it out of your heart and just get it said before the Lord. I don't understand, and you allowed whatever, this person to die, or they went away, or whatever it is. And God, I'm so hurt, and I'm hurt at you. It's just hard for me to talk to you today. And friends, if we just get honest with that, and we pour out our heart to Him, and then just give Him a chance to speak to us, open the Word, or just sit quietly before the Lord and say, I just have to say this and get it out of my system. And I've got to empty my heart. It's too full of hurt. Too full of grief. Too full of anger. God will take that. And He'll begin to minister to you. And He'll begin to whisper to you through His Spirit, it's okay. I know you don't understand. It's just that I know things you don't know. I allowed this for a reason that you may not ever understand, but what I'm asking you to do is just trust me, I have something better for you. I have something so much deeper, so much stronger, so much more fulfilling. But go ahead and get this out of your system. I won't hold it against you. I'm a loving God and I can take it. Pour it on me. Get it out of your heart, because there's no room when our heart's full of anger or hurt or disappointment. There's no room for the love of God. We grieve the Holy Spirit, and God will just pour it out. Or maybe you're so hurt at somebody else and you just can't even pray anymore, and God's saying, just get it out. Be cleansed and let me fill you. That's why He says in Luke, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to you? Why? Because you got your heart emptied out, then I can fill you with my presence. And maybe a lot more of us need some emptying out than we realize. We've just let so much clutter our lives. And we're just so full of stuff. How much baggage are we carrying along in life? I look at my own life sometimes and say, God, you got to get rid of some baggage. I mean, everybody's smelling your garbage. Nobody wants to hear about my past. They don't want to hear about yours either. Don't you get tired of hearing about what somebody, you know, somebody's always, and what happened to me and life's been yucky with me? Tell it to God. I need to close this up. And by the way, prayer de-stresses. I can start talking to God and I get de-stressed. You know why? I know He cares and know He listens. I had a little incident. I'll tell you about this real quick. It really bugged me. I got texted recently by a guy I hadn't heard from in a long time. Long, long time. And he sent me a picture, and I commented on the picture, and I got the response back, and, well, I'm so glad you're still kicking. I thought, well, that's all right, that's a little half rude, but we're okay. And I said, yeah, thank God I'm still kicking. I sent that back, you know. And then there was something else sent, and you know, and it's like, I'm still going out and hunting and doing all this stuff. Are you? So I thought, well, this is weird. And I said, haven't been able to enjoy this year very much. I've had 5 procedures and 2 surgeries, so I won't be doing much of anything the rest of this year. And I got a response back. You know what it was? Bummer. And then the next response was, I'm at a concert. Talk to you later. I thought, boy, that's caring. Well, there's a real feeling individual. You know, it was great until I shared, I've had some procedures here, 5 procedures, and bummer, I'm at a concert, talk to you later. I started to get really hurt, and then I realized God was saying, talk to me about these things. You can come to me and say, God, I don't understand why I've had 5 procedures and 2 surgeries this year. my whole year, this is a lost year as for me, as far as I can tell. And still I'm not totally out of it. And it's like, you know what? I can tell God that, and he's not going to say bummer. You know what he's going to say? He's going to reach his arms out and hold me and reach around me in his spirit and say, I get you. But more than that, I got you. And this has all happened for something you may or may not ever understand. But there's other people touched by it, and there's other people encouraged by it, and I want you to trust me, and it's not a bummer from my part. I'm not at a concert. I'm right here with you, and I was with you in that operating room, and I've been with you in every procedure, and I'm with you this coming Thursday, and I'll be with you the rest of the year and the rest of your life, and I'm here for you. And that's what he's saying to every one of us. Just communicate with me, and I'll never say bummer. I'll say I got you. He will. Yeah. He will. He will. You'll never get a text from God like that. God has purpose. He's preparing you right now. He's working to mature you. He's working to mature you spiritually and emotionally. I'm reading from some notes because I made too many notes. And I don't always do that, but I did this time. This is kind of more of a teaching than a preaching anyway. I want you to know God's preparing the circumstances. I'm just reiterating a little bit. He's preparing the circumstances and the people to make it all happen for you. He's growing your faith. He's giving you focus. He's giving you follow through. He's teaching you how to be patient and persistent. So it's time to start asking and seeking and knocking for the great things of the Lord. Pour your heart out before him. Never, never, never withhold what's in your heart. God knows anyway. You need to get it out. You need to talk to him. And then just sit there and listen. And I'm going to tell you, God has great and mighty things. And what did he say? Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things you do not know. So start asking and seeking and knocking and looking for God to work those great and mighty things that he has for you. And you'll never get a text that says, bummer. You'll get the Spirit saying, I got you. And I'll always have you. Now let go and let God into your life. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the healing power of it. We thank you for communication and prayer and what it means. We thank you that we can come running at midnight and we're totally irresponsible and you give us the three loaves. That's our God. That's our God. You're not a bummer. You're our God. And if it matters to us, it matters to you, and you care, and you'll always care. Thank you, God, for loving us so, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I'm so glad you're here today. I really am.